Jack 4 by Neil Asher. Read by Nathaniel Priestley. A glossary is provided at the end of this audiobook. Chapter 1. When the cold coffin opened, only the body of a human male existed. It had a bald skull, dark complexion, and hazel eyes. The brain, which sat inside its skull, was a blank slate, though one formatted along standard lines. It would not, for example, need to be instructed how to keep its heart beating. Autonomics ran as they should. The shape of a human mentality was sketched through the grey and white matter, but there was no sentient person there. The body lacked all the bolt-on advantages of current humanity, such as nanosuites, boosting, cerebral orgs, gridlings, or motorized paraphernalia. It was, in fact, one of a vanishingly small number of humans not to be a cyborg. It did, however, have its genetic modifications, since the superfluous had been removed, ensuring it would suffer no inherited diseases. Without intervention, it had a good chance of living for 150 years Solston. Right now, it seemed highly unlikely it would make it into its teens. Microwave heating raised the body's temperature and particular chemical processes kicked into motion, but in all these activities there was no tendency, yet, towards decay. Mitochondria stayed on hold, awaiting their trigger. Pads folded around the skull. These injected a host of nanofibers and tubules into the head, which began making connections throughout, injecting neurochem and jump-starting nerve impulses. Other pads touched here and there over the body, injecting more neurochem, a required microbiome, complex proteins and sugars, as well as carbon fibers into the heart muscle and spine. Everything was starting to reach readiness as the body rose to optimum temperature. Enzyme keys to turn on the mitochondria flooded the heart and it soon began beating, spreading that key throughout the body in the blood. Following this, the organs started up in a steady cascade. The complex chemical factory of the liver began its work, while in the skull the fibers and tubules laid down data in moving patterns that would allow the brain to function, to understand some of its environment and to respond to simple orders. I opened my eyes. The cold coffin had popped open and I lay gazing up at a shiny aseptic surface, flinching as connections pulled out of my sore limbs, my mind all but vacant. I then felt something buzz against the side of my neck and an impulse driving me. I sat up and looked around, seeing further coffins protruding from other walls and their occupants also sitting up. I even felt a little sick, but didn't realize then that my body didn't possess the alterations to the inner ear most modern humans possessed.
"Proceed to the exit," said a voice.
I understood the words perfectly, even though I had never heard nor spoken words before. It gave me context, a sense of place and what exit would mean, and with that a growing sense of self. I felt an urgency to obey them, but also some confusion about where an exit might be. Others started hauling themselves out of their coffins and moving in a direction I labelled down, in relation to my position in the coffin, while the idea of cold coffin lodged in my mind, but with language associations I did not understand. I watched the first of my fellows pull herself through a circular hatch. Understanding of shapes intruded on my thoughts, along with hatch, its only association, for a second, to the lid of my coffin, but then came ideas of doors and other movable items that might block my progress. I noted then that all the females looked the same as each other, as did the males. The concept of human sex differences had surfaced in my thoughts as a kind of by the way. Lights flashed in my skull, then jagged lines crawled across my vision. I couldn't identify this for a moment, until I came to understand these were the visual effect of a migraine headache, an ancient human condition. I next questioned my impulse to follow the others. Little did I realize this was the first moment I had strayed from design, and that things were already happening in my mind which weren't in the others. Again, I felt a buzzing against the side of my neck and my urgency to obey increased.